Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. For the next hour, we will be discussing this week's Monday Night Raw, 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there. You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Thank you, Blog Talk, for playing that about, 40 seconds late. Tremendous work here they do at Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Tremendous work. I highly recommend it to anybody who wants to throw their money away. You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, hopefully they're all done doing that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Tonight, Raw begins with Stephanie McMahon coming up and making the April Fool's announcement that she's going to be entered into the women's main event. Booze from the people who were stupid enough to believe it, and then she says, I'm only kidding, April Fools, but the announcement is all belts will be on the line. So that's really all it says about this announcement, and it's a real announcement because, number one, it's a very odd match. I don't know if I've ever had a or heard of a match where two championships are on the line against someone who doesn't have any. So Becky Lynch now appears to be the person who really has the most to gain. She can win two belts in one night. Goes to Ronda Rousey, Charlotte can only win the other person's belt. Interestingly enough, Becky Lynch can be pinned, and the person who doesn't pin loses the belt. Now, she didn't say this unifies the belts. She did say this is going to be one champion from now on. She did not say that. She said you win both belts. So I don't know what that means. I don't know whether you can just go to Raw and SmackDown, and if you lose it on SmackDown, then you've lost the SmackDown women's belt. If you lose it on Raw, you've lost the women's Raw women's belt. I don't know what WWE knows at this point. I think they're just go. I really do. I'm playing this by ear. Because none of this really makes a lot of sense. Speculated what the stipulations would be, and the stipulations are that the winner gets all. Okay, well, that sets up a host of questions, Mike, and I don't know how we can answer them until the WrestleMania is over, but it opens up more questions than it answers.
Now my thing is this. The closest thing I can remember to this was when Jericho unify the WWE belt and the world championship at the time. Now, he defended that one belt. They combined the belts, but he defended it. Now, also boxing with all its alphabet soup of companies, you know, WBC, WBO, when at one point Tyson had unified those belts. But Buster Douglas beat him, he only won the one belt of the company that he was in. I think it was the WBO or whatever it was at the time. So, I'm wondering. Now, granted, they do want Becky Lynch to be the champion, And I think that I said it on Sunday's show that they want, I think they have it in the back of their mind that they want Charlotte at some point to have those 16 title reigns. You know? So taking those two things in line, the immediate goal is to get the belt around Becky Lynch's waist. So I think they pretty much telegraphed that that's going to happen on Sunday.
You're right. And again, we're left with a situation where if Becky Lynch pinned Charlotte Flair at the main event of WrestleMania to win both belts and Ronda Rousey has no real factor in the outcome, this is going to not sit well, in my opinion, with fans. Not well at all. I know it's not going to sit well with me, not after everything that's happened. So we'll see how smart they are about this. Could be a disaster. We'll wait and see. We then get a Brock Lesnar appearance. And Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman come out and basically do their normal ranting and raving on how they're going to be successful at WrestleMania and all that jazz. It brings out Seth Rollins, who gets in the face of Brock Lesnar. Punches are exchanged. And Brock Lesnar is literally kicked directly in the groin, not once but twice. Then he's given the curb stomp. And Seth Rollins is left looking like he can perhaps handle the beast. The problem with the whole situation is this. As was pointed out backstage, if you do that, you're disqualified. I mean, if you kick somebody directly in the nuts, then you're going to be disqualified. So you're not going to win the belt. Weird. If you're going to show that Seth Rollins can stand up to Brock Lesnar, it's probably the best thing not to kick him in the groin. It's probably the best thing to just actually stand up to him, because this makes it look like, I guess maybe that's what you want it to look like, is that he can't stand up to him. I don't know. I don't know where the WWE is going with that. What I do know is that it was a weird segment. When you have the face literally kicking the guy low twice, it just doesn't sit that well with me. I mean, it is what it is. I understand he's Brock Lesnar, Todd, but, you know, this is supposed to be Seth Rollins, the architect, and he's basically reduced to kicking you in the nuts.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty weird excitement there with Seth Rollins. This is the first time he actually done this, kicking somebody, low blowing the person in the midsection. It was just different.
It was odd because, again, he's supposed to be the face in this whole thing, and I guess it's, you know, any means necessary, but I'm not sure it really made an impact that the WWE wanted it to make, Mike.
Right. And, you know, this is since the start of the show, this has been, with all the respect to that group that they had, and I believe in WWE at the time, or in ECW, or I think it was WCW, one of them called the Oddities. This has been an odd beginning for Raw. And look, I mean, if they were going to do this, they probably should have done this 2 weeks ago or last week, so that they could promote, maybe change the stipulation of the match to a no DQ match, you know, and say that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And basically they allowed Seth Rollins to say some of the stuff we saying, you know, we've been saying on this show, in that when he was talking on the mic, talking about you're a cancer and nobody wants to see you and everybody wants to see you beat and all that stuff. You know, they allowed Seth Rollins to actually say that. And actually Seth Rollins did get cheered for saying that. So, yeah, I mean, it's an odd beginning.
It really is. I mean, what he said was great. And I just wish that they had left out the part where he just low blows him twice, because I don't see how that is relevant. Or it makes Seth Rollins look particularly confident or whatever. It's something I cared for. We then get Beth Phoenix and Natalya, and of course the women's tag team champions, the Boston Hug Connection, against Nia Jax, Tamina, and the Iconics, who I guess can just come over. Pretty much the brand split is dead, folks. I mean, what else can we assume? Samoa Joe can walk over if he wants to. The Iconics can walk over if they want to. Rey Mysterio can walk over if they want to. Everybody can walk over if they want to, apparently. First, we were told, well, it's just the women's tag team champions that can come over. Well, no, apparently that's not true. The Iconics are not the women's tag team champions. Rey Mysterio is not the women's tag team champion. So the brand split is weakening, really. They probably won't end it because they want the two shows, you know, the networks to have the separate shows, but it's weakening tremendously. So instead of fighting each other, which they all will at WrestleMania, the faces team up against the heels. Beth Phoenix looks pretty much the strongest out of the bunch. Sasha Banks blows a couple of moves early. Listen, as controversial as this is probably going to be, a lot of these girls, a lot of these women who are in this women's revolution need to tighten their game up. Period. Because I'm sick of covering. I'm sick of saying they're just like the men. Everything's perfect. They wrestle just as good as the men. Well, the actual fact is no, they don't. I'm tired of watching Sasha Banks blow moves. She does it virtually twice a match. And we know what Sasha Banks is capable of because we've seen her in NXT with Bayley. So that means Sasha Banks has gotten lazy. The Iconics do what they do. You can't expect them to be any better than what they are. Beth Phoenix basically hasn't wrestled out in how long, so she's going to be a little bit sloppy. But time and time again, we see sloppiness from some of the people in the women's division. And then we got to sit here and say, well, we can't criticize them because if we do, we're being anti-women and anti-women's revolution and all. That's bullshit. If you want to be taken seriously as the males, tighten your damn game up. I'm tired of watching you blow moves. I'm tired of watching these matches that are slow as molasses in January and look so scripted that you're practically reading it off the back of your elbow as you're doing it. Stop it already. Asuka doesn't do that. Charlotte Flair doesn't do that. Becky Lynch doesn't do that. Even Ronda Rousey doesn't do that, even though Ronda Rousey doesn't really do anything except throw punches and have two or three moves. But at least it looks like you're fighting. It's time to, you know, take off the gloves here and go ahead and fight. Do what you got to do. Tighten the game up a little bit because this was a sloppy match. And I really think tipping your hand and showing all four teams in the ring together, even though you were teaming up, is probably not the greatest thing to do before WrestleMania. Either way, it was an okay match, Mike, but it's nothing that was particularly interested in.
Right. There's nothing I was particularly interested in either, except the fact that they did give Beth Phoenix. I mean, she's not called the Glamazon for nothing, and they gave her a few power moves, including, you know, basically spearing Nia Jax through the barrier.
It was
there.
Tamina, yeah. You know, it was Tamina, but
yeah. Tamina, yeah. Yeah, so they gave her that, and that made sense. That was logical. And yeah, you're right. They need to, you know, Carmella doesn't blow moves. Neither does Naomi. Neither does, when she's in there, neither does her ex-partner, who's probably going to get cut after WrestleMania.
Alicia. You know, yeah, look, some of the girls do, some don't. But my point is this. None of them should. Sasha Banks has wrestled some brilliant matches. So when I see flubs, and everyone makes a flub. All the guys do, all the women do. Everyone flubs once in a while. But when I see it every match, okay, well, then what's the problem? Tighten it up a little bit. You see you flubbed. You know you flubbed. So then you tighten it up and say, well, I got to make sure I don't do that again. I mean, you can't flub every match. because then it makes me think, well, you're not really trying. At this point, you're mailing it in. If that's what you're doing, that's pretty lousy. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, Marcus?
Okay, hey, Tom. So listen, the bottom line of the situation is, you know, we got Raw off to a weird start. We got Stephanie McMahon confusing us further with what the hell's going to happen in the main event. We've got Brock Lesnar being kicked in the nuts twice by the face, the hero of the story, Seth Rollins. And we have the women kind of in a match that, to be perfectly honest, I don't think was necessary. It would have been better to wait and let all four of them be in the ring at the same time at WrestleMania, you know, would have meant more than to have all four of them in the ring at Raw.
I agree 100% with you. I mean, the beginning with Stephanie McMahon was kind of lousy. And Brock Lesnar coming out there and smiling in the face of Seth Rollins, and then he gets kicked in the nuts. You know, the referees usually in big matches for, you know, all the marbles, they usually let a lot of stuff go. But if that's what you're going to do to try to make Seth Rollins look strong, then make it a no disqualification match. Or make some kind of stipulation where that wouldn't be illegal. So that would then getting
right.
kicked in the nuts would make sense. But
yep.
as far as that's my thing on that. As far as Sasha Banks, you're 100% correct on that. Every match I see her in is she just looks bored. She flubs a lot, and everybody flubs. Can you say Oklahoma roll?
Yeah, I know.
And you know, things happen, but it looks like she's just bored. And you know, you want to take the women's tag team champion seriously. Don't call yourselves the Boston Hug Connection. That's dumb. 12-year.
It's a really bad name. There's no question about that. Maybe they're shooting for the younger audience. I don't know what the hell's going on. But, that's pretty corny. Anyway, after that, we get Jinder Mahal one-on-one with Apollo Crews, except that for some inexplicable reason, most of the people who are involved in the – well, some of the people who are involved in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal are at ringside. I don't know what the hell I watched. You know, Jinder Mahal has went from the world champion to a guy who can't stay in the ring 2 minutes with Apollo Crews. That's how far he's fallen in this length of time. That's a big fall. And then inexplicably, they have the B team come in there and pose with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Trophy, and then the Ascension get mad and throw them out, and then basically have a little mini battle royal where, oddly, when people get thrown out, even though it's not a battle royal, they don't get back in. I mean, this is just a melee. You can get back in, but they don't. They're just like, nope, we're treating this like it's an impromptu battle royal. Why? That's really weird. Nobody said, oh, and after this match, there's going to be an impromptu battle royal, and if you do get thrown out of the ring, you can't get back in. How come you can't get back in? All you're doing is brawling. Really weird. Just really weird. And it leaves Apollo Crews and the Singh brothers and Jinder in. And I guess what they're trying to do is promote Apollo Crews as a guy who might win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Maybe he will. But I can tell you this. They have centrally focused this on three people. Braun Strowman and the two chuckleheads from Saturday Night Live. So they're going to have the big storyline in this. Everybody else is secondary to this. Everybody else is secondary to a story that involves two comedians who they replayed last week, and I failed to see what horrible, horrible actors they are. Usually, if you're on Saturday Night Live and you're a comedian, you also are a decent actor because you got to play so many different characters and things like this. These guys are terrible actors. At one point, the one dude, I don't even know who's who, is literally saying, no, wait, if I have to go into the battle royal, then so do you. Wow. Thanks for giving it all that effort. Why are they in this? Can you please explain to me why they're in this? Why can we just not have an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal with all the wrestlers and to hell with the two chuckleheads from Saturday Night Live? What are they offering? I live in New York. I don't even know who the hell they are. Nobody cares. You think somebody's out there going, oh, The Saturday Night Live guys are going to be there. Let's buy tickets. It's a disgrace to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So you're telling me that two guys are taking spots away from wrestlers just so you can have a gimmick going into the Battle Royal? The Battle Royal don't need a gimmick. The gimmick is very obvious. The winner gets the trophy. It's supposed to mean something. I don't like it, Mike. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it at all, but one thing that did come out of this is they did allow, we finally got to see a little bit more, you know, a little bit of Titus, and he was throwing people around pretty much, and he's throwing people out of the ring. He threw 5, 6, 7 people out of the ring, you know, at that point, and he... I mean, I'm thinking, okay, as I'm watching them do this, could they be setting it up that that he has a shot at possibly winning this thing? I don't know, but you know, that was running through my mind. Of course, the storyline is between those two poor actors and Braun Strowman, but I don't see either one of those. I don't see Braun Strowman winning, and I don't see the two actors winning. So who's going to win?
I sure hope not, Mike, but I don't know. Why do I think if those guys are involved at some point, one of them's going to at least in some way be involved in how Braun Strowman gets eliminated or something, or something's going to happen? You don't put those two guys in there. Why would you put those two guys in there? If you're Vince McMahon, why do you say, well, they got star power? Not really. So you're going to put them in there and, oh, you guys are just going to go in there and Braun Strowman's instantly going to just destroy you and toss you out like garbage and then you can just leave. Why? What's the point? Something's going to happen and I don't like it. 100% do not like it. And aside from that, the rest of this could just be called the Jabroni Battle Royal, Tom, because everybody in here has really got no storyline and WWE's doing nothing with them.
The Jabroni Battle Royal. That's awesome. Yeah, you're right. And you know, I'll go a little further than that. You know, Braun Strowman walking up and going, what are you guys laughing at? And seeing the two local talent guys and saying, I'm going to call you this guy. I don't even know the Saturday Night guy's name, nor do I care. But he
right.
did pull like a heel. He did pull like a heel thing. You know,
right.
that Taz, you know, did in ECW. He kept, you know, when he kept calling out Sabu and referring to people as Sabu when he was fighting them,
yep.
he was like, I'm going to call you this guy, I'm going to call you that guy, and you're going to meet me in the ring. That's a heel thing. That's not a face. If you're building up as a face, stop confusing us.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Tom, because I got the same vibe as, wait a minute, I thought Braun Strowman was a face. Now, here he is picking on two guys who did nothing. Yeah, it's weird. Again, it's just weird. I don't know where they're going with this. All I do know, Todd, is, you know, this Battle Royal isn't shaping up to be anything like it should be. I mean, it's supposed to be a memorial to Andre the Giant, and leftovers, or who's in it?
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's a slap in the face to us wrestling fans. I remember WrestleMania 2, they had a battle royal. It wasn't for a trophy or anything. It was for bragging rights. You didn't see celebrities. The only celebrities you seen was NFL football players and WWE superstars at that time. And like you said, it was just for bragging rights back then.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to throw Rob Gronkowski into this, I'm okay with it. Because you've got to figure, well, you know, he might be able to hold his own. But, you know, two idiots from Saturday Night Live. God, so it's a comedy battle royal? Is that what it is now? Is this the comedy relief? That's what the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal has become? A spot for the leftovers and comedy relief. That's great. Andre the Giant's rolling over in his grave. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, we then get a really, really, really nice moment where Kurt Angle comes down. And this has been very genuine. Every one of these spots have actually been pretty genuine. And this one I thought was the best. And I want to give a lot of credit to the fans in Washington, D.C., because they were fantastic last night as far as Kurt Angle is concerned. They blew Kurt Angle up out of the water, man. And he deserves it. You know, it's easy to forget if you're a wrestling fan. And that's why I thought the WWE did such a great job with their package, their video package of Kurt Angle. And I think it may have even surprised him. You know, I don't know if they let him know everything that was in there. And literally watching this, you're saying, damn, I wish I could go back and do that all over again. You know, I wish I could go back and relive those moments, because that's when being a wrestling fan really meant something. And there was a lot of fun going on. There's a lot of cool things going on. It's so different now. And at watching that and then going back to Monday Night Raw made me realize how much wrestling has changed, and not for the better. Kurt Angle was genuinely touched by it. He was legitimately crying. The fans were blasting loud. They know, too. These fans sitting in that arena, they know. They're watching that saying, man, I wish we were living through that right now, too. Trust me, the majority of them are. This is interrupted by Baron Corbin, who actually does a pretty good job. Really cuts to the quick, saying Kurt Angle in that video package, it might be great, but that's not the Kurt Angle that's standing in the ring. The Kurt Angle that's standing in the ring can't take his jacket off without trouble. The Kurt Angle that's standing in that ring can't go 2 minutes without huffing and puffing. He's done. We're bigger, we're faster, we're stronger, and that's just it. He can't hang. Kurt Angle says, well, okay, well then come on down here and we'll have a shoot match right now. Baron Corbin teases that he will, then starts to walk away from it. Rey Mysterio's music hits. I thought Rey Mysterio was a SmackDown guy, but apparently Rey Mysterio can also go anywhere he wants to go. And Rey Mysterio challenges him to a match. Baron Corbin basically blows that off, but then ends up punching Mysterio in the face. A fight takes place. And we're told later on that Rey Mysterio will indeed fight Baron Corbin. I don't know why. Again, I don't know why. Because there's nothing good can come out of this. If Rey Mysterio loses, it makes him look ridiculous going into an intercontinental title match, or I'm sorry, a U.S. title match with Samoa Joe. And if Baron Corbin loses, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if he's going into WrestleMania just being a loser. So my thought was something major is going to happen. We'll get to that later, but I thought something major was going to happen. I still say Baron Corbin is not wrestling Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. I still say it. I know every single person has said, no, no, he really is. No, see, they're building it up. Something's up. Something's up. Anyway, though, it was a really nice moment, I thought. Todd, the video package was awesome.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the video package was pretty cool to see him doing the Olympics, WWE stuff. It was pretty cool to see all that. And like you said, there's like a pretty good send-off there.
No question. I mean, Tom, I watched this video package, and the first thing that hit me was, my God, why can't wrestling be fun like that again?
Man, I tell you, and we both you know, lived through Kurt Angle's debut in the WWE and
yep,
extending years, and I've seen, you know, being an amateur wrestler, I know Kurt Angle back, you know, from way back, and Kurt Angle's career just, you know, and his legacy just speaks for itself. I was literally gleaming watching this package. I was in awe, actually awestruck. And you know, it cuts back to exactly what you said a few minutes ago. You know, back then wrestling was, you know, who would expect Kurt Angle to come out in a milk truck?
I know.
And that was absolutely hysterical, and brings back a lot of memories, and how much wrestling was just, a lot of stuff was happening back then all at once. And after the 2 hours of Raw was over, you're like, man, I want more. And
there is no question. I mean, when that video package was done, Mike, I was a combination of happy and sad. I mean, I was happy because I was like, wow, that's awesome. Kurt Angle's had such a great career. But I was a little bit sad because I'm looking at Raw and saying, I don't think it's ever going to be this way again.
Right. And here's what a lot of people don't understand. People like the milk truck, But that was just a take on what Steve Austin had done a few years before,
right,
with first the beer truck, then
yep,
then he come out on a Zamboni at one point. You know,
yeah,
so,
and he got the Undertaker's motorcycle. It was a moped or something, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but still that was – and look, that was – but again, that whole milk truck thing was logical because
yep,
it's Kurt Angle, he's Olympics, you know, with the whole cereal – I don't know if he was ever on the Wheaties box or whatever, but with that whole Wheaties type of thing going on, that was a logical bit.
Well, what made
know?
It even more logical, of course, is that it set the difference between here is – Stone Cold Steve Austin, a beer swilling, you know, whatever, and here's a guy who's going to douse him with milk. It's back when the characters were so strong, the characterizations were so strong that you felt like you knew these people, not like they shifted and changed every week. That's the unfortunate part. Before we get to the tag team match, let's just talk about the Batista thing for a minute, because you want to talk about a waste of airtime. Here is a guy in his hometown who walks down to ringside, takes, I don't know, 5 minutes to get to the damn ring, walks around it, grabs the microphone and says, Triple H, kiss my ass. See you. Good night. Thanks for coming. Thanks for selling your fight. Wait a minute. Aren't you the actor? Aren't you the guy who's in movies? That's it. That's all you can do. That's it. That's your chops, huh? Wow. No, you really sold that fight. Congratulations. I mean, this was your opportunity, and this was the WWE's opportunity. Now, the WWE may have told him to only say that. I don't know. But I can tell you that this is ridiculous. This is a guy who, I would presume, can handle a whole bunch of lines. And I presume can pull them off in an effective manner that looks like he's not kidding. So now is the time to really launch into this. Now is the time to put the nail in the coffin and say, this is what this is all about. This is why I want to retire Triple H. This is why my goal in life is to retire Triple H. Nope. Just up. Hey, Triple H, kiss my ass. Yay. Okay. Thanks for coming, folks. Be selling t-shirts out of my trunk. I don't know, Tom. It seemed like a waste of airspace to me.
Yeah, you know, you got guys sitting on the bench, you know, watching that and thinking, they're scratching their heads going, they don't got time for me, but they got this guy who hasn't wrestled in 5 years and can't sell his own fight and is not even going to be on the pre-show, probably going to be on the main WrestleMania.
Oh, for sure.
This is where I would go and you know, go for a popcorn run because, let's see, I don't know, 50-something-year-old man who hasn't been in the ring since Saudi Arabia, where he tore his shoulder, and a lousy actor, that's Batista, who can't sell his own fight, got two left feet, and just says, kiss my ass. He didn't even say, here's a video.
No, he didn't say anything. That's the whole point, Mike. I mean, this is a guy who's an actor. Give us your chops then, and we got nothing.
Right, and that's, you know, I mean, obviously – they don't have confidence that he can do this, even though I've seen the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, and he does really, really well in that, you know, at selling that character, you know, and also, I mean, it's like, why wouldn't you use him?
And that's exactly my point. Why the hell wouldn't you use him? Why in the world would you not take that opportunity to really sell that match if that's what you want to do? I don't know. I don't know. I'm dumbfounded. Anyway, the Revival against Aleister Black and Ricochet for the tag team championships. I was really confused about why they had this before WrestleMania. I thought this would probably be a WrestleMania match, but my thought was, well, there'll be no finish. And they'll add this to the WrestleMania card, or another team or two will show up and they'll add those teams and they'll have a massive quest for the tag team titles. But no. Decent match. Good match, actually. Ricochet gets counted out thanks to some under the ring interference. The bottom line of the situation is, I don't know what's next for the belts. I mean, do they even have a match at WrestleMania? I don't think so. We've not been told that. So unless they add it, they're not even being defended. And I have to think the Revival are probably gone after their contract's up anyway. The WWE has been relegated to, oh, you're thinking of leaving? We'll hand you a belt to satisfy you. I don't think it's going to satisfy the Revival. And the WWE at this point probably figures they don't even need the Revival. So I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if they left. It wouldn't shock me if they stayed either, because I'm sure they're going to get really good money if they do. But this match just illustrates my point. Under no circumstances should you have wasted Aleister Black and Ricochet as a tag team. You don't get enough out of them. Individually, you'd get a whole lot more out of them. And you'd get a good team, but with the WWE's current tag team roster, in especially on Raw, you're not going to get much. It's not going to get that much. So while it was an okay match, Tom, I don't even know what the future of the titles are, since there's no match booked for WrestleMania that I know of.
Yeah, I was a little confused why this was on Raw. I mean, and these guys have fought, I don't know how many times. It should definitely be a WrestleMania match. I was thinking the same thing as you. There was going to be no finish, and there was going to be a disqualification or count out or whatever. The gimmick ending was kind of entertaining, because I didn't expect it. I didn't even know the guy was under the ring. But it was it set up the, you know, for the match for WrestleMania. Even though when you don't get a return match, once you fight the champion, you don't get a return match.
Right.
I don't know how many times these guys have fought each other, but I guess it goes back to what we've been saying, you know, all along. How many tag teams are there that are actually, you know, worthy of getting a title shot at this point? And they keep going.
And that's the problem. That's the exact problem, Tom, as we see later on in the card. That's the exact problem. We get a segment with Roman Reigns, who's attacked by Drew McIntyre. That's fine, whatever. We're going to move on with this a little bit, because we're going to spend some time on the Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey against the Riot Squad. Now, last week, they totally humiliated the Riot Squad and basically beat them all. Charlotte didn't beat Ruby Riot, but was about to, in basically under 2 minutes each. Now, collectively, they get together. And for whatever reason, the stipulation is, if you turn on your teammate, then you lose your WrestleMania opportunity. So you're telling me, after Stephanie McMahon comes out and announces, this is for all the marbles, champion versus champion, and Becky Lynch is thrown into the mix, and the winner takes all, you would literally say, okay, well, that's off, because Ronda Rousey decided to punch Charlotte. That's what you're trying to sell me. Oh, sorry, folks. Remember my earlier announcement? Yeah, nix that. Charlotte lost her temper. Yeah, come on. What the hell kind of a stupid stipulation is that? So you know it's a setup. You know the second that the match is over, there's going to be a brawl. You know it. Well, the Riot Squad is just, they may as well have been three jabrons. Okay, this match had nothing to do with whatever opposition was across the ring from Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte. This was all about just getting them to brawl. Just jabrons. Enhancement talent. And the minute Ronda Rousey taps out, whichever one she, I think it was, I'm not sure which one she tapped out, but anyway, it wasn't Ruby Riott. She just attacked Charlotte Flair. And then the fight is on. And this thing gets to the point where they send down first security and then police. Now, this could have been a very effective segment, except for one thing, and I want to remind wrestling fans, because I'm the type of guy who rubs salt in a wound. I had so many people say, oh, I think it's wonderful that Ronda Rousey broke kayfabe and said Becky Lynch wasn't really arrested and it was a fake picture and all that. I think it's wonderful. You think it's wonderful now? This would have been a really good segment, except for the fact that we all already know, according to Ronda Rousey, well, this is all fake. I'm not really mad. I'm just following the script. Wait a minute. I thought Ronda said she's not going to follow the script. I thought Ronda Rousey said, no, I'm a loose cannon now. I'll do what I want to do. Well, obviously not. So now what's she going to say? Hey, how do you all like my fake arrest pictures? See, that's why you don't jump the shark. That added nothing to the feud, or her saying Becky Lynch's arrest wasn't real. It added nothing to the feud. In fact, now it's taken away from it because now we automatically say, well, you know, this is bullshit. We all know it's bullshit anyway, but that's not the point. The point is we can't even suspend our disbelief because now Ronda's involved in it after she already said, I'm not going to be involved in anything scripted or whatever. No. Well, if you're not involved in anything scripted, Ronda, then you're not making WrestleMania because you assaulted a police officer. And you damaged police property. Which means you're going to be in jail for a little while or bailed out, but you're certainly, sure as hell, not going to be at WrestleMania. So now, let's see you take to Twitter and say, only kidding, folks, you want to buy my mugshot t-shirt? Now, I'm not saying they didn't do a good job. This would have been a good segment had it not been for the earlier crap with Becky getting arrested and Ronda Rousey telling the world it was fake, that Becky was never arrested. Also, there is no way on earth Stephanie McMahon is there. I don't know if Triple H is there. I presume he is. But at least Stephanie McMahon should have been out there going crazy, screaming, stop it, stop it, stop it. You're going to destroy the main event of WrestleMania. She should have been livid at all three of them. If this is quote unquote real. Now they had the thing where they put the two girls in the same car. Like that's ever going to happen? Fight and Ronda Rousey breaks the window out. The only really good segment in this whole thing is where Charlotte Flair breaks loose and gives a high knee to Ronda Rousey through the broken window, but Ronda doesn't sell it. And then somehow Ronda gets a hold of the car and apparently drives it with no hands because she's handcuffed and smashes it into another police car. And look, the whole thing was pretty damn good. If not for the earlier crapola with Ronda Rousey supposedly exposing the business and supposedly breaking kayfabe and all of you fans eating it up like candy saying, isn't it cool? No, it's not cool because now this has no actual meaning. That's my thought on it, Mike. What do you think?
You're right on that. And the thing is that, you know, again, it wasn't logical for Charlotte to do what she did in that match because she's would Ric Flair do something like that? And she's the daughter of Ric Flair, you know. So the logic in that thing doesn't make sense. Ric Flair wouldn't have done anything like that, you know. Wouldn't have punched somebody like that just to facilitate something, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, I like what they did. I mean, obviously she threw that window was not pre-cracked. Obviously she threw a kick with enough torque to break that window, you know. So
yeah, I'm not sold on that. I think they might have something on that window. But the bottom line is this. We didn't even flesh out a story. A good story would have been Charlotte. Why would Charlotte Flair want to be tagged in? Why would Charlotte Flair want to risk an injury, want to risk, or any of these girls really want to risk an injury, want to risk losing their WrestleMania spot? Why would you even want to be tagged in? Now, I heard a lot of people say, why would Becky try to antagonize Charlotte into hitting her because that makes Becky look like a heel? No, that makes Becky look smart. If I can take one person out, and it's one-on-one, who cares about her SmackDown belt? It's Ronda she's always wanted. Ronda trying to antagonize people would make a little bit of sense, because why would she want to have to defend her belt against more than one person? Charlotte really should have been the one not doing too much in this. But, and Charlotte was, by the way, the worst one being arrested. She's trying to kick the toes of the officers as they're pulling away. And Charlotte never really been involved in an angle like this, I guess. And I think she tried to overplay it a little bit. But it could have been really good, Tom, except for the fact that we all have already played this out with Ronda Rousey, and Ronda Rousey clearly stated, I'm no longer going to play the script. I'm no longer going to be the good girl. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And now this happens, and you say, oh, here's Ronda playing the script and doing exactly what they want her to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I managed to forget on purpose the fact that Ronda Rousey, you know, broke kayfabe, because I just looked at her as a female Brock Lesnar, just worse. And, you know, this could have been a really good segment, and it was a really good segment. But the fact that, A, they put the two girls in the same car, and they have a little, you know, cat fight with their feet, that was silly, because that would never happen. And two, how did Ronda Rousey manage to get up front and put the car into drive with her balance? How did that happen? Did it, like, she all of a sudden she's you know, unhandcuffed and pulls the lever down to put the car in drive and hit a cop car, and then they pull her out and she's still handcuffed. Magic. That's
yeah, crazy. I know. Look, again, it could have been a really good segment. I think it was ruined partially by Ronda Rousey's earlier statements, and for that, and having Stephanie not be there to act as though they may have ruined the main event of WrestleMania. What do you think, Todd?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when I watched it, I kind of busted out laughing with the Ronda Rousey with in the driver's seat, handcuffed, with using her legs or knees or by the steering wheel.
It's really ridiculous. And you know, we're not supposed to be laughing. We're all supposed to be in shock going, oh my God, this is getting intense. And instead, we're rolling laughing, saying, what is this, the Three Stooges escape the Keystone Cops? Yeah, I know. Shouldn't have been that way. Absolutely shouldn't have been that way. Lost in this shuffle is the fact that the Riot Squad are just totally being decimated, and that's a shame because they're really good. Every one of them are really, really good. All right, so we get Heavy Machinery versus Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. And remember how we said that the tag team division is going straight down the old tubes? Well, here we go. Roode and Gable were tag team champions. There's no reason why you couldn't have, the B team was there. We saw them. The Ascension were there. We saw them. How come they can't fight Heavy Machinery? How come it has to be Roode and Gable and they're destroyed in 3 minutes? Because now you've just weakened that team to garbage. So you're getting rid of a team. Okay, you're building up Heavy Machinery, but you've destroyed Roode and Gable. You could have built up Heavy Machinery the exact same way, having them squash the B team or squash the Ascension. And maybe Roode and Gable watching, or Roode and Gable down at ringside or something. You could have done that. You chose not to. So now Roode and Gable are now out of the picture. So now, effectively, we have Heavy Machinery, Aleister Black and Ricochet, and The Revival. That's about it. You got three tag teams that mean anything. Shouldn't be that way. So, Mike, I thought they made a mistake in booking there. Just, you know, you have those other tag teams you're not doing anything with. Let Heavy Machinery squash one of them if that's what you want.
Right. Or you could have brought in, you know, you could have brought in local talent like you did with Braun Strowman and have them squash down. I mean, obviously that compactor thing is because of their size is going to be an effective move as a finisher. So, yeah, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, and it's a shame because all it does is undermine Gable and Roode. And it looked at the end as though maybe they're thinking about splitting them up. Maybe a feud coming or something. That's kind of the feel I got of that. Nothing really much to talk about in that match. So we'll move on to Braun Strowman, who just tosses two guys around like garbage. I don't know. Okay. That's fine, I guess. Whatever. If you think for 1 minute he's tossing either one of them guys from Saturday Night Live around like that, you've got to be insane, because they are not trained in any way, shape, or form. They're not going to take any huge bump. So, I don't know. I don't even know why this existed. I really don't. I have no idea why this spot existed. But man, has Braun Strowman really tanked at WrestleMania. The story behind Braun Strowman will be this. You had a guy here who the fans were absolutely clamoring for. He was your top guy. Most popular guy. And you have taken him from that level to the level of a guy last year who won the tag team championships with a 10-year-old boy and now is probably maybe going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, having tossed out two guys from Saturday Night Live. That's it. That's his two big WrestleMania moments. Man, oh man, have you mishandled that guy, Tom?
I couldn't agree with you more. The thing is that Braun Strowman to me, and I'm sure everybody here on the panel would be in agreement, is that he lost his edge, and he lost his edge a long time ago. I'll tell you when he lost his edge. When he, like Master Shredder, gets thrown into a garbage truck, and a week later he emerges. That's when he lost his edge. It didn't make sense. It's stupid. If you got dumped in a garbage truck and somebody pulled the lever down, you're dead. I know it's wrestling, but you're dead. And if the guy is not dead, then the person who did it is being charged with attempted murder. Holy crap.
Well, let me say this, Tom. I'm not sure I agree with you there, because we've seen The Undertaker that people, buried alive and they come back and all that stuff. So here's where I think he lost his edge. When he comes down with a gigantic bassoon and tries to play country music to Elias. That's when I said, okay, you've just killed Braun Strowman. That's it. It's over. The whole mystique, the whole monster, the whole everything is done, finished, kaput. You want to make him an invincible monster, you got to remember, Kane was hit with sledgehammers, he was set on fire, and he always came back. So I'm not too big on that as far as that's what's killing him. But when you take away the one thing he had, which was intimidation, that he wanted no part of anything except mauling people and destroying people, and yet he sits down on a stage like a 400-pound orchestra guy and plays a bassoon, then, that's when I think Braun Strowman was lost, Tom.
Yeah, I was actually trying to block that out, and thank you for bringing back to my memory. I actually forgot about that feud because it was just very short-lived. But, I withdraw my previous statement. Yeah, that was ridiculous. That was actually worse than the garbage truck.
It was, and it robbed him of that mystique of being just a monster who doesn't care about anything. So did the 10-year-old boy thing, but that came afterwards. You don't pick a kid from the audience, you're my pal, and you're a big monster. Now, that was bad. I know you were trying to make him a face, but you can make him a badass face. Anyway, not much to talk about in this one, Mike. It was just, it is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's like you say, something's going to happen in a battle royal. If those two actors who can't sell for crap end up somehow eliminating Braun Strowman, I mean, what is this? Again, we've talked about who AEW could get to bring in to do stuff. I mean, Braun Strowman would be a likely thing because he wouldn't fit with what they currently have there. But again, if those two guys somehow end up eliminating Braun Strowman, that's bad. And that's the WWE falling down on his job.
Mike, if that happens, I will lose my voice on Monday. I will lose my voice. That cannot happen. I'm telling you right now, that cannot happen. It better not happen. Anyway, Baron Corbin takes on Rey Mysterio, and I thought I was dreaming. I thought Raw had put me to sleep. So I rewound it. And sure enough, chuckle-headed Corey Graves literally says, and I quote, Baron Corbin is bigger, stronger, and faster. And faster than Rey Mysterio. Well, there's a brilliant analysis, Corey Graves. Thank you. Thank you very much. We all can see he's bigger. We all presume he's stronger. He's not faster. He's not close to being faster. He's barely faster than Kurt Angle. So don't tell me Baron Corbin is faster than Rey Mysterio. And nobody challenges him on it and said, faster? What the hell are you talking about? Faster. They have a pretty good match. Mostly thanks to Rey. And Corbin wins. Now, my thought is this. We know John Cena's in WrestleMania. So one of two things is going to happen. Either Rey Mysterio is going to cry hurt and he is not going to be in the U.S. Championship match, but John Cena is. Somehow Baron Corbin is getting taken out. I don't know how this could possibly happen now that Raw is over. But we know John Cena's in. Now, the third thing is he could fight Elias in some weird way. I don't know how. Since apparently Elias is just going to play the guitar. But did you hear the fans still, folks? Did you hear the fans when Elias was playing? And he said everyone's going to start chanting Walk with Elias, and they all did and everything. This was the same thing the WWE had with Cesaro. This is the same thing the WWE had with Rusev. And you did absolutely nothing with it. Absolutely nothing. And you're threatening to do absolutely nothing with it again with Elias, and I don't know why. I don't know why. So we'll see what happens at WrestleMania with this. I do know that Rey Mysterio versus Baron Corbin as the main event of your go-home show made about as much sense as two cops putting the two girls who were fighting in the same car next to each other. Makes no sense at all. So, Tom, I don't know what's going on here, but it didn't make Rey Mysterio look very good for his U.S. title match.
No, it really didn't. And I could only presume that that because right after Corey Graves said he's faster than Corbin, Baron Corbin is faster than Rey Mysterio, there's a brief silence. I can only imagine Vince in his set going, God damn, pal, why did you say that? That was ridiculous. Bigger, stronger, yes. Faster? No. That's dumb. That was really dumb. Like, for a guy with as much experience as Corey Graves, Einstein. Come on.
It was the dumbest thing, and you know, he calls every single person when they say something dumb, Corey Graves calls them on it. Nobody called Corey Graves on this, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a stupid comment what Corey Graves said last night. And you know, I was never really a big fan of him as a commentator, and they gotta get him out of there.
Yeah, he's kind of goofy. I'm not a huge fan of him either, to be honest. Sometimes he takes away from the match more than he helps it. Anyway, let's give our Raw grade here. And remember now, we fairly can judge this a lot more critically because it's the go-home show to WrestleMania, your biggest event of the year. This is not just a normal go-home show. This is not just a normal Raw. This is supposed to be your go-home show to WrestleMania. So I'm holding that to a higher standard than I would the go-home show for some third-rate pay-per-view or a go-home or a just a Raw. If this was just a plain Raw, I'll probably give it a B-. If this was a Raw go-home show to a minor pay-per-view, I'd probably give it a C. Or C-, but this is the Raw go-home show for WrestleMania. So I'm giving it a D. The only things that I liked on this show was the Kurt Angle video package and the tribute that they gave him. I enjoyed that. And I would have enjoyed the gimmick with the Ronda Rousey and Charlotte and Becky Lynch had it not been for them trying to get reality out of it and have Ronda Rousey break kayfabe and say wrestling scripted and Becky didn't really get arrested and I don't play games like that. Everything I do is real. Oh yeah, okay. Well, then why bother? Why bother doing it? And if you were going to make it look really, really, really real, Stephanie McMahon had to be out there screaming and yelling at the girls to stop fighting, knock it off. You're threatening the main event of WrestleMania. Really, that's what had to happen. You think pandemonium is going to occur like that and your bosses aren't going to be out there saying, what the hell? We got WrestleMania on Sunday. These girls are hitting cops. If you want to make that realism work for you, Stephanie McMahon and maybe Triple H himself had to be out there. So my grade, unfortunately, is going to be the D. What's your thoughts on Mike?
I've got to go with you, because of what you said, but because logic throughout the show just fell down, just went away. Logic. You know, it wasn't logical to put him in the same car. It wasn't logical to have Braun Strowman do what he did. It wasn't logical to have Charlotte react the way she reacted, throwing that punch. Logic just went away. So, D.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I really expected a little bit better for the go-home show. I expected a really major angle between Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre and not just this. I expected a much more intense angle between Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins than I got. I know they didn't want to rob Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch of their big moment. I know that they wanted that to be the big, big, big moment. I get that, and that's okay. But there could have been other big moments too. Because we really didn't need to see Jinder Mahal and Apollo Crews. We really didn't need to see Heavy Machinery and Rude and Gable. If you wanted to just take this down to just a couple of matches and some really major angles like this, we would have been okay with that. Instead, you opted for no, only our WrestleMania main event is going to get that huge, huge build. The rest of them are going to get a little minor build here and there, a little bit of a rub. I expected more. Todd, what's your rating?
I gotta go with you and Mike. The same grade, a D.
So we're all giving it a D. That's a shame. I hope we give WrestleMania a better grade. You know, I was asked yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before yesterday, I guess. I was asked Sunday if WrestleMania turns out to be good despite this. Despite all of the weird booking and the last minute changes and the whatever, am I going to regret not going since it's in my backyard? And the answer is no, I'm not going to regret going, because if organically it ends up being great, if these people absolutely perform to a level that surpasses the booking that they have, it's not the WWE's responsibility. It's because the WWE did a very poor job of building up this WrestleMania, a very poor job. So if it turns out to be better due to the performances of their athletes, the WWE should take no credit for this. Kofi Kingston happened by accident. This wasn't the WWE's plans. It wasn't even their secondary plan. It was their third plan. It was plan C. So a lot of this really is flying by the seat of their pants. And until the WWE can really show me that they are actually planning things that the fans are into, really ahead of time, really taking us on that journey, because that's what wrestling writing is about. Wrestling writing is about leading us down a path and making us anticipate every step of that path until it reaches its conclusion. It's not about just saying, throw two guys in the ring together that people want to see. Anybody could do that. A child could do that. That doesn't make you a great booker. It doesn't make you a great wrestling writer. It's the obvious. I could get together an event tomorrow and say, okay, we're having Sheamus and Cesaro take on a New Day. That's going to be a good match. We'll have Finn Balor take on Aleister Black. Boy, that'll be a good match. You know, we'll have Ricochet take on Rey Mysterio. That'll be a great match. We'll have Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns go at it one more time. We'll have Seth Rollins go at it with, I don't know, maybe who Bobby Lashley. Fine. And that'll sell. That'll sell. How much effort did I have to put into that? It just came off the top of my head. The real secret to professional wrestling writing is to lure the fans into a storyline they didn't even know they wanted and then captivate them with it and take them on that journey. The closest they've done is Shane McMahon and The Miz. They set that up a long time. They set that up from basically Saudi Arabia. They had that in mind. And they pulled the trigger too late. They had good intentions on this, but it went too long before the turn happened. We should have had a few more weeks to marinate this feud, to really build it up to intensity level. But at least they tried. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about long-term storyline and walking you down a path. How many of these other matches can say the same? Now, we didn't mention the Finn Balor thing, so let's just mention that briefly, even though we've already given our grade. Bobby Lashley and Finn Balor have their little face-off, one on a screen, and Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush in the ring. We already knew that Finn Balor was coming out as the demon. I love the fact that Bobby Lashley said, what does it matter? It's still Finn Balor. But then we have to have the video package where Finn Balor turns into the demon and Bobby Lashley looks like the kid from the Little Rascals who's seen a ghost. And I'm saying to myself, Jesus Christ, here we go. 180-pound man is going to be an intimidating demon who a 260-pound ball of rock is afraid of. It's just ludicrous. That's just ludicrous, Mike. Every time I see this, it bothers me more and more.
Yeah, you're right. And really, this is something, again, that they pulled way too late with Finn Balor. Finn Balor should have came out as a demon way before this.
Well, here's why it doesn't make sense, Mike. We're talking about illogical. So Finn Balor will pull the demon out to try to win the Intercontinental belt, but he didn't pull the demon out to try to win the actual Universal title against Brock Lesnar.
Right. That's what I mean by way too late. You know, if you were going to do this, if we're going to have him use the demon, then damn well use it against Brock Lesnar.
You have to. Unless you're a complete idiot. I mean, which belt is more important? That's why the whole demon thing doesn't work for me, folks, for the following reasons. Number one, he doesn't wrestle any differently. The only thing different is the introduction. The only thing different is his walk to the ring. But suddenly it's different because he's unbeatable. But he's the same guy using the same moves. So I don't understand that. At least when Mick Foley did his three characters, he didn't use the same moves. He wasn't the same guy. It was like split personalities. Finn Balor doesn't bother to alter his moveset at all. And by the way, if you're 5'8" or 7, 180 pounds, it's really not that impressive that 6'2", 275-pound ball of muscle is petrified of you because you're going to put some makeup on your face. Anyway, that's what we got, folks. We will be back here on Friday with the SmackDown report. We know, of course, that there's going to be some interesting things on SmackDown tonight. This is their go-home show. Let's see if they do a little bit better job. Certainly looking forward to it, and we can only hope, right? We'll see you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.